This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The next parable that we have is also related to Sahib al-Quran. But this time it is about the one who memorizes and he forgets. And so the Prophet ﷺ gave us the example. And this hadith is found both in Bukhari and Muslim. It's agreed upon. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنما مثل صاحب القرآن كمثل صاحب الإبل المعقلة إن عاهد عليها أمسكها وإن أطلقها ذهبت. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, the example of the person Sahib al-Quran, the person of the Quran, meaning the one who knows the Quran by heart, is like the owner of a tied up camel. The example of the one who has memorized the Quran is like the person who has a camel that he has tied up. إِنْ عَاهَدْ عَلَيْهَا أَمْسَكَهَا وَإِنْ أَطْلَقَهَا ذَهَبَتْ. If he remains vigilant, paying attention to it, then he will keep it. He will be able to retain it. But if he neglects it, then it will go away. If he's neglectful, then it'll go away. And so, retaining what we have memorized of the Quran is one of the most difficult things to do. All of us, we have experienced this. Whether we have memorized a few parts of the Quran or whether we've memorized the entire Quran, all of us know how difficult it is to retain it, retain our memory, to keep it. And so, memorizing is not that difficult. You can spend a few hours, memorize, and you'll have it. But the question is, how long will you have it for? How long will you retain it in your memory for? And so, memorizing is not difficult, but to retain what we have memorized, it's not easy. And so here the Prophet ﷺ gives us this beautiful example to show us who it is who will be able to retain what they have memorized versus who it is who won't be able to do that. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, صاحب القرآن, this refers to the one who makes the Qur'an like his companion. Because that's the meaning of صاحب. The Prophet ﷺ did not say the one who has memorized the Qur'an. Because you can memorize it, but then leave it, not revise it. And so the Prophet ﷺ says here, the صاحب القرآن, the companion of the Qur'an. And so it doesn't merely refer to the one who recites it or memorizes it, but the one who constantly is with it, constantly reviewing it, constantly, you know, revising. Because those who recite it rarely, those who rarely recite the Qur'an, if they were to go back to reciting it, it would become difficult for them. Like we said, some people, they only recite the Qur'an in Ramadan. Next Ramadan comes, and they want to sit and try to recite, it's going to be difficult for them. And also those who memorize. Also those who memorize, if they leave it for a long time, it's going to be difficult when they want to go back to it. And so likewise is the camel. Likewise is the camel. That the Prophet ﷺ says here, like the owner of a tied camel. الإبل المعقلة. معقلة, it means that the camel is tied up with a rope around its knees so that it doesn't run off. And the rope, what is it called? It's called an عقالة. The rope that they use to tie the knees of the camel, it's called an عقالة. And for those who have lived in the Gulf countries, they wear something called an عقالة. What is that? It's that black thing that they have on their head that they hold their shimagh with. That is called an عقالة. What is the story of that? Back in the days, the Arabs, the Bedouins, they would always have this in their hands. And if you were to pick it up, it's actually, you know, two. It's double. But when you pick it up, it opens like this, and it becomes a huge, like, rope, basically, that is like this. And they use that. They used to use that to tie their camels with. And then over time, it just remained on their head, and it became a fashion. It's part of their dress now. But until today, it's called the عقال. And عقال means the thing that you use to tie up the camel. So as long as you keep the camel tied down like this, you keep it, and it won't escape. So you need to be diligent. You need to make sure that your camel is tied up. And you can't be neglectful. You can't be careless. Otherwise your camel will run off. And the reason Ibn Hajar, he mentions this in his commentary of this hadith, he says the reason why the camel has been mentioned here specifically and not any other animal is because it is the one domestic animal that tends to flee off the most, wandering off and then not coming back. Other animals, they tend to come back. If they wander off, they tend to come back. But the camel is known that once it wanders off, that's it, you've lost it. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us another parable that inshallah we will cover when we come to that hadith, of the joy that Allah has at our repentance. When we turn to Allah with sincere repentance, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah's joy is more than the joy of one of you who is traveling in the desert and he comes across a tree and he decides to rest under the shade of the tree. He takes a nap. When he wakes up, he finds out that his camel has left. It has wandered off. And then he loses all hope. Why? Why does he lose all hope? Because, what did we say? The camel is one of those animals that once it's gone, it's gone. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it specifically here. So, you know, after he loses all hope, then all of a sudden his camel, he sees it in front of him, and out of extreme joy, he says, "O Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord." And the Prophet ﷺ says that he says this as a slip of the tongue. He doesn't mean it, but out of extreme joy he said that. So the point was that the reason why the camel specifically has been mentioned here, because it tends to wander off, and once it's gone, it's gone. Likewise, the nature of the Quran. Likewise, the nature of this Quran. As the Prophet ﷺ described it in another hadith, he ﷺ says, تَعَاهَدُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَهُوَ أَشَدُّ تَفَلُّتًا من الإبل في عقولها. He said, revise the Quran, read it regularly. For by the one who the soul of Muhammad is in his hands, this Quran escapes from memory faster than a camel does from its tying ropes. And so this is the example the Prophet ﷺ gives us concerning the true Sahib al-Quran, that he is one who does not neglect and is not careless with what he has memorized, but rather he retains it. How? By being vigilant, by constantly pushing himself to revise. I'm not going to be heedless, I'm not going to be careless where I just don't care anymore about what I memorize. No. He is constantly paying attention to what he has memorized, constantly going back and revising. And this is how he retains it. This is the true Sahib al-Quran. Now the question is, how can we retain the Quran? Many people, they ask this question that they have memorized and then they have forgotten. So how can we retain the Quran? Because as we can see, the importance of retaining it, making sure that we are retaining it in our memory. First and foremost, by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We say it every day. O Allah, you alone we worship, and you alone, what? We seek help. We don't seek help from anyone else. And Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that I search for the most beneficial dua, and I only found it in this verse. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That, O Allah, you alone we worship, and you alone we seek help. Meaning, al-isti'ana, to always ask Allah for help, is the most beneficial dua that a person can make. Why? Because whatever dua you ask Allah, O Allah, give me this, O Allah, give me that, it can only be done not through your own personal effort, but by Allah aiding you to achieve that. You're not going to only ask Allah, O Allah, give me money, and then you sleep at home, you don't do anything. No, you're going to go out, you're going to search. But who is going to help you to search? Only Allah. So seek help from Allah alone. And so when it comes to retaining our memory of the Quran, first and foremost, turn to Allah for help. Constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. That, O Allah, whatever I've memorized, help me to retain it. Help me, aid me in this mission of constantly revising the Quran. Secondly, making a daily schedule for yourself. Not randomly saying, you know, I'm gonna revise whenever I can, and then you never get the opportunity to revise, or you say, on the weekends I'll revise. No. But rather daily. You have to make a daily schedule for yourself. Set aside time daily. Especially for those who have memorized large portions of the Quran, they need more time. The more you've memorized, the more time you need. And the less you've memorized, the less time you need. And so make a daily schedule that you stick by. The third is by pondering over its meanings. When you ponder and reflect over the meanings of the Quran, it helps you to retain what you've memorized and not to mix up the ayat. When you reflect over the ayat. And so in Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two places in Surah Al-Baqarah says, summun bukmun umyun. Right? In two places. In the first juz. Summun bukmun umyun. They are deaf. They are speechless, they can't speak, they are dumb, and they are blind. In the first ayah, in the first place, it's referring to the hypocrites. And in the second place, where Allah says, Summun bukmun umyun, it refers to the kuffar. Now, if you didn't know that, if you didn't read the meanings of this and ponder over this, then you wouldn't have known that. And then you would have made a mistake with what? With how the ayah finishes. How does the ayah finish? Summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un, in the first one, and in the second one, fahum la ya'qilun. What's the difference? When you understand, the first one is with regards to the hypocrites, and the second is with regards to the kuffar. Yes, that's the second. And the first, the hypocrites, they'll never come back. Meaning, they knew Iman and they left it, and they will never come back to it. لا يرجعون, they will never return. With regards to the kuffar, فهم لا يعقلون, they didn't know guidance to begin with. They didn't know Iman, they never tasted Iman, so they don't, لا يعقلون, they don't understand. Who understands this? The one who reflects over the ayat. So if you memorize Surah Al-Baqarah and then you got confused, how does this ayah finish? Summun bukmun umyun. Is it fahum la yarji'un or is it fahum la ya'qilun? Pondering over the meanings, it helps you to retain your memory. The next point is by teaching it to others. Whatever you learn, if you were to teach it to others, it helps you to retain what you have studied, what you have learned. And all of us, I'm sure, have experienced this in our lives. We have studied certain things in our lives, but because we never went back to it, or we never taught it to others, we've forgotten it. So teaching it helps. And the last point is acting upon it. When we act upon what we learn of the Quran, it helps us to retain it, because it's part of our life now. And as they say, قَيْدُ الْعِلْمِ الْعَمَلِ, to retain knowledge is by acting upon it. Finally, what is the ruling on the one who forgets the Quran? Firstly, we should not say forgetting the Quran, because the Prophet ﷺ forbade from saying that. The Prophet ﷺ says, لا يقول أحدكم نسيت آية كيت وكيت بل هو نسي بل هو نسي. None of you should say, I forgot such and such verse, but rather he has been made to forget it. He has been made to forget. So we shouldn't say, I've forgotten the Quran. Why? Because the Quran is never forgotten. But rather, we have been made to forget it by Allah, by our sins, by shaitan, and so on and so forth. Secondly, those who have been made to forget the Quran, they are of two categories. The first are those who, they may have forgotten parts of the Quran, but it was not due to their own neglect. They were not careless, but rather naturally, due to their weak memory, they're not able to retain it. And this is especially with regards to older people, especially those who memorize the Quran at a later age, and you know, they become very senior in age. They complain about their memory of the Quran. They say, you know, every day I read this surah and I revise it and revise it, and I just cannot get it. And so such people, we say that there is no blame upon them. There's no blame upon anyone who he forgets, but not due to his own neglect, not due to his own carelessness, but rather naturally. Because this happened to even the best of us. It happened to the best of mankind. It happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was once in the masjid listening to someone reciting the Quran. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, لَقَدْ أَذْكَرَنِي آيَةً كُنْتُ أُنْسِيتُهَا. He reminded me of an ayah that I was made to forget. Notice here the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? Unsituha, that I was made to forget. He did not say that I forgot. And once the Prophet ﷺ was leading salah, and he missed an ayah. Just like it happens to every single, you know, hafiz of the Quran, especially in Taraweeh, they may miss an ayah. And so after salah, Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, who was, you know, one of the reciters of the Quran, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he told him, Ya Rasulullah, you forgot this ayah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, you should have reminded me of it. Meaning, in the salah, when I missed it, you should have corrected me that I had missed this ayah. So this shows us that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was made to forget. But was he neglectful? Was he careless? No. As for those who are neglectful, and this brings us to the second group of people, those who memorize, whether it be the entire Quran or large portions of the Quran, and then they never make an attempt to revise it, to retain what they have memorized, then they are to blame. And according to many scholars, they are sinful. And even Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that to forget the Quran, meaning to not go back and revise it, this is min al-dhunub, it is one of the sins. However, there are no authentic ahadith regarding that. There are ahadith that mention that, you know, this is the punishment for those who neglect the Quran and don't revise it. In one hadith, it says that they will come on the Day of Judgment, ajdam, meaning their hands will be cut off. But none of these ahadith are authentic. So this is why we say that even if it is not a sin, even if it is not sinful, a person is still to be blamed. And it is still problematic. Why? Because we could say that this is a calamity from Allah upon you. It is a musibah. It is an aqibah. It is a calamity upon you from Allah. Because you did not take the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said in this hadith that we should constantly revise, because the sahib al-Quran who does not, then he's like the owner of the camel who does not tie his camel. So he did not take the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And most likely they were made to forget because of what? Because of their sins. Because of their sins. And the tabi'i of Dhahhak, rahimahullah, he says, no one learns the Quran and then forgets it except due to a sin that he committed. Because Allah says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. No musibah, no calamity befalls you except because of what your hands have done. Except because of what you have set forward, because of your sins. And then he says, Abdahak, he says, And forgetting the Qur'an is among the greatest calamities. So it's a calamity if you memorize the Qur'an and then forgot it, or were made to forget it. But an important point here is that we should not let shaitan to play with us. And this is a mistake a lot of people make. They say that, okay, it's dangerous to memorize the Qur'an and then not being able to retain it. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to memorize the Qur'an. There's a lot of people like that, and they even discourage their children. They say, no, I don't want to encourage him to do something that later on he's not going to be able to keep, and then I'm going to be to blame. No, that's not true. But rather, this is one of the traps of shaitan, to make us to stay away from good deeds. This is how shaitan comes to us, to make us stay away from good deeds. Just like he comes to us and discourages us from doing good deeds by saying that if you do it, it's going to be riya. So don't do it. If you do it, you're going to get the sin of doing a good deed out of riya, out of showing off. As we know, it's a minor shirk, the Prophet ﷺ told us. But the scholars say that this is actually a trap of shaitan to make us to stay away from good deeds. And so we say, don't let shaitan to, you know, deceive us like this and discourage us from memorizing the Qur'an, but rather memorize it and put in the effort and put your hopes in Allah that He will help you to retain it. Put your trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming to the lessons that we learn from this beautiful parable that the Prophet ﷺ gives, the first is that those who succeed in retaining their memory of the Qur'an are those who are vigilant, those who are serious, not those who are neglectful, not those who are careless. The second lesson that we learn is that the true sahib al-Qur'an is the one who is with it at all times. The true hamil al-Qur'an, the possessor of the Qur'an, the one who carries the Qur'an, the one who has memorized it, is not the one who has simply memorized it and then left it. And unfortunately, in many Muslim countries, they give the title of hafiz to someone who memorized, even if later on in his life, he changed his life around. He no longer practices Islam even. Not only he doesn't revise his Qur'an, but he's no longer practicing. He still carries that title of hafiz. And so the true hafiz of the Qur'an and the true sahib al-Qur'an is the one who is with it at all times, both in recitation, in revision, and, as we said, in acting upon it. Finally, the third lesson that we learn, or this is more of a question that Allah asks, a lot of people they ask, what is better? To read the Qur'an from the Mus'haf or to memorize it? And so we say that this question should not even be asked, because there are certain things that we don't say that one is better than the other, but rather both are good, and both we should aim to do. And so we should give each its own virtue and its own time. Reciting the Quran from the Mus'haf, it has its virtue and it has its time. And memorizing the Quran by heart, it has its virtue, as we mentioned all of those ahadith. Like that hadith, you know, it will be said to the one, the sahib al-Qur'an on the Day of Judgment, recite and you will rise in your rank. So each has its own virtue. Each has its own virtue. With regards to reciting from the Mus'haf, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he says, I hate that a day would go by without me having a look in the Mus'haf. Because reciting from the Mus'haf, it helps you to ponder over what you're reciting. Because you're looking at it and you're pondering over it. And memorization, it has its own virtue. So each has its own virtue, and we should give each its own time. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among Ahlul Quran, who are His special people. Ahlullahi wa khasatuhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those who recite, those who memorize, those who revise, and those who act upon the Quran, and make it like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His manners were the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among them. And with that, we conclude for tonight. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.